It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Donnie, you're out of your element!
Por el camino del desierto, el viento me despeina, suelo aroma de colita, luna de lari, ella de lo lejos, una luz en tela, la idea de mezcal, te vi por en la noche, ella estaba a la entrada, y la campana de sonar, y me dijo ya vinimos, de topo del cielo.
Señores y señores, esta noche en Film Sociology, el Mateo Soze.
Hola, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, like, God, why, go to MSOCE, that's MSOCEY at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soze. This show is available on iTunes. It's also available as a podcast Monday at lunchtime. We'll make your food digest easier. We also have a blog, which you can check out at...
Holy cow, what is it?
It's your part!
Filmsociology.tumblr.com. That's what it is.
The voice you just heard, yep. Man, who's out of his element. He is the walrus.
I'm the walrus.
He brings the room together. That's Kobe Slickle.
Hello, good afternoon. Also on the blog at filmsociology.tumblr.com, you can check out Matt's interview with Tommy Wiseau that we aired last week.
Yes.
In three parts, part three of three is finally up.
It's that massive. It's what? That epic. It's almost Lawrence of Arabia epic.
Yep.
I hate to be a pain, but as much as I love this intro, I kind of miss the very beginning.
What?
The very, very beginning. Before the
song?
Yeah, before the vocals kick in.
Oh, the...
I'm a pain.
A little mysterious.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that goes on for like...
I know it does. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We only have an hour. So I'll tell you what, if we get an extended hour, which we do in a way...
Yes.
Because we just a programming note. First off, this is the... Thank you. This is the calm before the pledge storm.
Oh, yeah.
We start up on Monday... This, you know what, this really helped, because it's been raining all day, it's been gray, everybody's energy is a little, you know, a little off, so what else do you need but a shot of musical adrenaline and caffeine known as the Gypsy Kings?
Yeah. And that's pretty much what they are, really.
They're musical adrenaline?
Yeah.
I said that last night about Little Ed and the Blues Imperials, so... Anyway, but we do have some programming notes. If you miss Film Sociology, Fridays at 5, and, well, I don't know what you do on Fridays, so it's up to you. But you have a second chance to check it out, because we now repeat Film Sociology. When do we repeat it?
Sundays at 4.
Sundays at 4. So if it's Sunday and it's 4 o'clock and you're done with if you're done with the football on the interwebs, if you're done with football and your team won or lost, you can still listen to the show and find out what movies are still opening that weekend and go check them out. Don't let Box Office Mojo persuade you. Just,
yeah.
See what you want to see. So anyway, yeah, because we joked before about coming on Sundays and 4 and doing a whole new show. Maybe once as a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
But we're not telling you. So, ooh.
You got to tune in.
You got to tune in.
It's like an Easter egg. If you pick out the show that we come in and do live on Sunday, then we'll give you something.
Oh, that's good.
We'll take you to Yates.
I love brainstorming meetings on the air. This is great. Oh, so we've had a really long intro. I'm not done yet. Okay, we have some movies to talk about later this evening on the show. This show, I have an interview. I have an interview with TV chef Danny Boom, who I got to know from Rescue Chef on Food Network, Hold on, I'm getting to it. But he's got a new show on RTV. You can hear it, you can see it on RTV6 called Recipe Rehab, which will air Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. He was most recently on The Chew. He's been on, like I said, he had Rescue Chef. He's done a lot of shows in Canada and on Food Network. And yes, Kobe, I'm working my way through English TV chefs just so I can get to Nigella Lawson.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to introduce him as, we'll have an interview with television's Danny Boom.
What he is, you know, just like we're radio Matt and Kobe. anyway, so that we'll have that a little later on in the show. But we have a lot. We have a full show. And let's start with, of course, opening today. I know Fair Sweet Bianca is excited about Taken 2.
Yes, she is.
Even though she already saw Taken.
Mm-hmm.
You have not seen Taken.
Does that surprise you?
I guess not. But you've come so far since you've been involved with film sociology. But yes, Liam Neeson's still in his action phase. Hopefully he'll start doing films based on the work of James Joyce or some other writers. We also have The Perks of Being a Wallflower. We also have Pitch Perfect, which you can hear a review of right after this show on Fresh Air with stars Anna Kendrick. And Frankenweenie, Tim Burton film. That was already a 30-minute animated short, but they expanded it. But I want to start with a film that's just opened in at the Keystone Arts Cinema, of course. It's called, and by the way, tonight and tomorrow night at midnight, as a part of their midnight movie series, the Indianapolis debut of the horror film VHS. I might be there Friday, tonight. Kobe will not.
Nope.
Not going.
You want to know why?
Because it's a scary movie.
Yep.
It's a scary collection of found footage movies. So you're not going.
Nope.
No, you have movies to catch up on, sir.
I know. And with the pledge drive kicking off next week, I'll be in here early and out of here early, so I will have time and will make it a priority to start watching these things.
The woefully neglected What Is Kobe Watching segment, which has been overpowered by Into the Archives and Dead People We Like. We have an Into the Archives segment a little later on in the show. But I want to start with Chicken with Plums. And you know what? Let's play the trailer first and I'll explain it.
C'était l'automne 1958. J'étais de passage à Téhéran. J'y rencontrai un certain Nasser Ali, dont je vais vous raconter l'histoire.
Je me rappelle la première fois où je vous ai entendu jouer. Je me suis dit que je n'avais jamais rien entendu d'aussi beau de tout. Je ne vous la vends pas, je vous la donne.
Pas maintenant. Désormais, tu es un grand musicien.
Demain, je pars pour Rust.
Qui va le garder, lui?
Tu le savais en m'épousant que j'étais un artiste.
Un artiste? La belle affaire.
Je te pardonnerai jamais.
Pour Nasser Ali, ce fut le début d'un long voyage de 20 années aux quatre coins du monde.
Maman.
Okay, so we have a violin player living in Tehran, 1958, and he has decided that he's going to end his life. And the film goes through the 8 days? Yes. The 8 days that leads up from his decision to it actually happening. Yeah, I know, spoiler alert, whatever. And it talks about, it's very stylized. This is from the director of, if you saw the animated film Persepolis, So it's live action, but it has some nice fantasy elements. An early example is how he's thinking about killing himself. Now, I know this sounds like it's a bit of a downer, but as the days go on, we find out more about the relationship between he and his wife and his family and his music and his past. And that is really engaging to watch. Now, I'm going to literally say, pardon my French, but the lead in this film, the actor who plays the violin player, is Matthew. Thank you, Tom. But it's Matthew Amalric, who you know as he was in Munich. He was in The Diving Bell and The Butterfly. But you really know he was the villain in Quantum of Solace, the last Bond film. See, there you go. It got a verbal reaction from Kobe. So now you know. It's that guy. He's that guy. And his wife is played by Maria de Medeiros. Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry. Medeiros. It's terrible. But she was Bruce Willis's girl in Pulp Fiction. See? And again, another reaction from Kobe. And, of course, she was in Henry and June, the first NC-17 film. Yeah, I saw it. So watching this go down, and he's at the beginning of the film, he's not the most likable character in the world. We have two films opening today with not really likable characters, but this one, it was still engaging to go with, almost like a puzzle as to how things went up. And there's a nice, not a twist, but just a nice little button at the end of the film about this. Like I said, visually impressive. We've reached a point where Isabella Rossellini is now playing the old mother of the violin player. That Isabella Rossellini from Blue Velvet, Kobe Slagle. The brunette who's not Laura Dern. No. You don't want to remember Blue Velvet. You don't want to. Fine. But anyway, despite the subject matter, very entertaining, very engaging, well worth checking out.
Yes!
And then I want to make fairly short business with liberal arts because I want to play our interview with Danny Boom next. We're gonna flip-flop format a little bit, and whatever time is left, we'll talk about what's new and old on DVD. Liberal arts stars and is directed by and is written by, not Tommy Wiseau, but... Because I know when you think of actor, writer, director, and producer, you think Tommy Wiseau.
Everybody does.
Everybody should.
Yep.
But no, this one is Josh Radnor, who I guess his big claim to fame, he's in How I Met Your Mother. But he plays a guidance counselor, 35, life is in a rut, and girlfriend just left him, and he decides to go back to his small college town of Ohio, his alma mater, to visit his favorite professor, played by Richard Jenkins, who is retiring. And while he is there, he meets up with a 19-year-old student, played by Elizabeth Olsen. Do we have a trailer for this or no? Let's play it.
Got it.
I thought your essay was interesting. A spell check might be nice on these essays. Love those extracurriculars. And you're not in yet. But, no, things are looking pretty good. So you don't want to go to college?
Jesse Fisher?
Professor Peter Hoberg?
I know Ohio is not as glamorous as New York, but they're throwing
me a retirement dinner thing.
When is it?
Weekend of the 25th. You know, check your schedule.
Checking now. Looks like I have to shift some things around. I'll be there.
He never writes, he never calls.
Oh, hey.
Whoa, was that Professor Fairfield?
Yeah.
She was like the best teacher I had here. She was like the second best teacher I had here.
Jesse, this is my daughter, Zibby.
Hey.
Hi.
She's a sophomore.
What was your major?
I was English with a minor in history, just to make sure I was fully unemployable.
You're like back in college.
You're overdressed.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a few years older than you.
Did you think this was like a romantic thing? Just kidding. We connect really well, don't you think?
I just can't figure out if it's because you're advanced or because I'm stunted.
Because I'm advanced.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know.
Nobody feels like an adult. It's the world's dirty secret.
I never met anyone that I trusted. Until now.
I'm 35.
It doesn't bother me.
Well, it bothers me.
My advice to you is put some armor around that gooey little heart of yours.
things I loved about being here was the feeling that anything was possible. You get out of school and anything could happen. And then you do get out and life happens.
So you're saying I should prepare myself for suckiness?
No. A liberal arts education solves all your problems.
Ladies and gentlemen, I remember there was an AV Club, actually an Onion article, an Onion news item that made it look like a morning. It was a morning show clip, and they were interviewing the screenwriter of the latest Fast and Furious film, and of course it was a 5-year-old kid who talks about cars and explosions and things go boom and they're girls or anything. Ladies and gentlemen, and of course that's, you know, male, made by boys for boys. Lots of fast cars and explosions and hot women. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the trailer for the art house fantasy movie made by boys for boys. The loser goes home, or in this case, loser goes back to college, and meets somebody who's almost twice, he's meets somebody who's half his age, and she's attracted to him. And it helps that it's Elizabeth Olsen playing the role. Mr. Schlegel, I'd like you to see this film because I think your perspective on it, because you are...
Anti-hipster?
Well, besides anti-hipster, you still have a 2 in your age.
Yes.
While I have a 4 in my age. And, of course, the subject...
And also a 2.
But... But it's a male fantasy in which we want for the intellectual male, we want to meet somebody who is 19, 20, 21, gorgeous, smart, and finds older men interesting because, of course, the men that are in their age group, well, they're bro, dude, they're stoked.
Stoked!
Yeah, so...
Totally,
this,
bro.
So remember, so this is, if you never saw Lost in Translation, I'm sure you would get something out of this. But so it's a combination of Lost in Translation and a Loser Goes Home film, a film like Elizabethtown or Lonesome Jim.
So like Zach Braff movies?
Kind of Zach Braff, yes.
Zach Braff.
I know you don't. Garden State is another one. Yeah. And yes, and of course, she, you know, the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, which of course it helps that she's in college with Elizabeth. Now, of course, Elizabeth Olsen's very good in this. She has to be because it makes every guy in the theater go, yeah, I wish that happened. But Richard Jenkins... And I love, I went at Academy Award nominated actor Richard Jenkins, and the first thing you said off camera was the dad from Step Brothers. The man has a great career. So,
are you saying Step Brothers isn't great?
No. Best use of drum cymbals I've seen in a movie in a long time.
Yeah.
Can't talk about it. But he's very good as a college professor who really isn't sure if he wants to retire or not. Of course, you heard the voice of Allison Janney, who plays a literature professor who doesn't turn out the way things should for our young actors. So Radner as a character, the performance is, you know, very self-deprecating, of course, but, you know, come on, the guy wrote this for himself. He directed himself, yeah, so he could do squishy scenes with Elizabeth Olsen. Am I jealous? I'm never telling you. But but Mrs. Soucy has a term, made by boys for boys, and this is made by boys with tweed jackets for boys with tweed jackets. So
I have some tweed jackets.
As do I. Or corduroy jackets with the elbow pads,
no.
And a pipe.
No.
But the performances are good.
You get your MG driving hat out when you
I got your
put
MG. I turn it around, my Kangol, and I look like Sam Jackson. I don't look like Sam Jackson. So the performances are good, but I got a feeling, especially females in the audience, are really going to roll their eyes on this one. So I guess I'm recommending it by performances alone. But yeah, this is the art house male fantasy film.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit because I can't remember how long the interview is. But TV chef Danny Boom has a new program on ABC called Recipe Rehab that you can see locally on RTV6 at 11 a.m. on Saturdays. And I got to talk with Danny this week about the show, about movies, and hockey movies and other cinematic nonsense. Good things do happen via Facebook.
That they do, bud. That they do.
Joining me on Film Sociology is Danny Boom, who's got a new show on ABC Saturday mornings called Recipe Rehab. How are you, Danny?
I'm fine, thanks, Matt. It's great to be here.
Great for you to be here. So tell us a little bit about Recipe Rehab, because I first knew you from Rescue Chef, and now you're doing Recipe Rehab. Are you a superhero? Are you a doctor or referee? What are you up to?
Well, I am the all-in-one translator and referee for every family in America. Basically, the idea of Recipe Rehab is that we're going to have a different pair of chefs every week, and they're going to take an all-American recipe or a family's recipe that they would like to change for the better. Mm-hmm. And what we're basically doing is we're throwing down the gauntlet to these two chefs, and we're saying, right, we want to see if you can make this recipe tastier, healthier, and especially easier to make. So, and what we're trying to basically get through to the viewer is that we want to create healthy choices for people. And, I mean, basically the story goes that we had a lot of people writing into everydayhealth.com, and what they were doing is they were asking us, like, how do we make a chili healthier? How do I make my mac and cheese healthier? How do I make apple pie healthier? Because a lot of the families that have been writing into the website have been saying, well, look, you know, we all want to make a conscious change, but we'd all like to live healthier, but we want to see the options out there. Mm-hmm. So we've developed a show where we would take a recipe and we would challenge the two chefs to actually recreate the recipe. And now that's developed into a TV show. Now, this is the first time a YouTube show, basically, on premium channel on YouTube has gone into the network realm. So this is basically a real integration of new media meets old media. And so what we are basically got this really cool, we've got this cool competition that's going on, saying we've got these two chefs, every week there's a different chef, and they're going to go in there, and they're literally going to deconstruct a recipe and rebuild it. And they're also going to do that with the help of the everydayhealth.com nutritionists, who are going to tell us how much sodium is in this, how many calories are in this, how much fat is in this, and they're going to break it down. So the overall challenge for the chefs is to basically, they're going to get 10 points per category for ease of preparation, nutrition, and then also the taste factor, because we want to make healthy food, but it still needs that great taste. That's why we love mac and cheese, isn't it? Mm. We love mac and cheese because it tastes great. But if we can take some of the bad ingredients out and give you some options of different ingredients to put in but keeping the taste, then that's the overall challenge for everybody at the end of the day when they're trying to make healthier food.
So it sounds more like a more informative show as opposed to something like Ready, Steady, Cook or any other cooking shows that we've seen.
It's funny you say that, because what it is it's this beautiful amalgamation of a competition show with the traditional stand and stir shows, which are more educational. So, and with me in the middle, I'm the voice of the viewer. And so what I'm going to be basically doing is I'm going to translate all the chefy terms for people. I'm going to ask a lot of questions and challenge the chefs to, you know, to explain and tell us how we can make this easier. I'm also going to pull them up on a few things, saying, hey, you know, is Mrs. Smith going to be able to make this? Because it's got to be simple, and you've got to remember, you've got to get your points for that. So I worked as I say, the navigator, the interpreter, and also the referee for the chefs. And some of the chefs are very competitive. It's real fun entertainment, and it's basically designed for the family. We want people to come in on Saturday mornings on ABC on your local affiliate, and we want them to tune in. And also, we're also challenging families to come up with recipes. We want you to send recipes in to our bettereats.com. And we want those people to basically challenge us. Give us recipes that you want to make a change in your home. If you want to start eating healthier or better or cheaper, and you want to basically see how you can stretch your food budget or even make your food budget healthier, we're going to be able to help you do that via our websites. So everydayhealth.com and bettereats.com are basically going to be servicing Recipe Rehab, which will be on ABC, and it's your local affiliate. So it's every morning. I think you'll find it's between 9 and 12 on Saturday mornings.
Okay, I would say. And now, are you wearing stripes? Are you handing out yellow cards for deep frying?
No, I'm looking dashing, which is great. But
you
the interesting
are.
Thing is, no stripes, no whistles. But the good thing is that what we get is there are actually a little bit of frying goes on. We're showing you how to fry healthily. We're showing you how to bake healthily. It's just giving the viewer what we're trying to do is when the term came up about cooking healthy, everybody starts to panic. And there's a couple of shows out there that were generated around health that were actually dictating and to people, and also creating a negative spin on what is healthy food and what is healthy for you. Mm-hmm. So what we decided to do was we're going to take all the negativity away. We're going to give you choices. And, you know, you can still use cream, but why don't you use the half-fat cream? You can still use butter, but why don't you use just half a teaspoon instead of a teaspoon? And by deconstructing the recipes and just taking a little bit out here and adding a little bit there, we have this nice balance of health and tasty food.
Now, how many episodes have already been made so far? I know
we've done our very first season. There's 11 episodes. We run from this Saturday, the 6th of October. Saturday, the 6th of October, Recipe Rehab will be on your local ABC affiliate. It's free, which is even better. You can just tune in.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to log on to a cable channel. It's on your right there. And then what the idea is, we're going to run all the way through to the end of January. So we're all through the holiday season. We're going to be able to even show you how to make desserts that are tastier and healthier. And even the great family sides of, like, you know, as I said, mac and cheese earlier. We've got a fantastic mac and cheese recipe, which is actually made with hardly any cheese. It's actually made with butternut squash. So we can even show you how to sneak in the veggies for the kids. And our second season starts shooting in November. So we've really got a good run here, and there's a lot of great positive vibe about it. And we want people to tune in and also log on to everydayhealth.com and also bettereats.com, which is our new website that will be the affiliate to our show. And tell us what you want. Give us suggestions, and also ask us questions, because if you don't ask, you never get.
Now, are you still doing stuff on the Chew?
I'm actually finished the Chew to do this show.
Oh, because, okay.
I was the traveling correspondent for the Chew, which is generally at 1 o'clock every day on ABC, and it's a lot of travel, and so I had to pick which one I was going to do. And this show's got a lot more meaning. To be absolutely honest, no disrespect to the Chew, this show's really going to be a little bit of a game changer. I think it's going to show people that that TV still has their interests in teaching people. Mm-hmm. And getting the family involved. I mean, the other great thing about Recipe Rehab is that we send both recipes off to the families, and then we say to the families, okay, now you make them, and you tell us which one was the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually have great affidavits of the families, and they've said, right, this is the recipe for us. It's you know, it's the ease of preparation. We're going to give it 10 points. The nutrition, the everydayhealth.com nutritionists will give it, say, an 8. I mean, basically, the highest score we got was a 10 for nutrition out of one recipe, which is absolutely amazing, because the Everyday Health nutritionists are very, very, very hard to please. And then the other one is ease of preparation. You don't want to be changing recipes that are difficult. You don't need 1,000 steps. You need simple recipes that you can do between half an hour and an hour. And our chefs are actually challenged within that time. They have to really completely deconstruct a recipe and rebuild it within half an hour or an hour. So that's the great challenge for them, so the families at home can see that it can be done.
Now, do you remember the first recipe you ever rehabbed?
Oh, I'm a bit of a mechanic when it comes to recipes, because I love playing around with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the inquisitive nature of any chef. We want to take something that's traditional, and we always want to give it something, tweak it here and tweak it there. My overall one is always my mum's. My mum does this recipe called shepherd's pie, which is I'm English, so that's why my funny accent.
No, a funny
Most
accent.
I'm Australian, which I always have to say, you've just insulted two great nations. but being English, we have there's chili con carne. And there is shepherd's pie. And shepherd's pie is the overall family recipe. It's basically got a cheese and potato crust, and then it's got vegetables and mince all mixed in with a lovely sauce. And I'm always trying to the funny thing is, you're always trying to recreate your mum's dish, and then you have to realize you have to make it your own. So I've taken a few of the naughty things out and added like fiber to it. So I've added baked beans into it and mixed it in with the mince and added a few extra vegetables, and it's a winner every time. I don't know anybody that doesn't like it.
Can you rehab Bubble and Squeak?
Yes. Actually, I could. Yes, we can actually rehab that, because we've actually did it. I work with the great people at Tefal, and we have a non-stick pan, so we use less oil and less butter to fry the potato cakes, which is absolutely awesome.
All right, I didn't catch you off guard. You're doing great.
I like how the curveballs keep coming.
So tell us a little bit what's happening with Crash Bang Boom Productions. My film show is called Film Sociology, so I love pun names. So
right, well, basically, I used to be a professional ice hockey player, and in Europe, and someone once wrote, "Danny Crash Bang Boom hit the guy in the corner." Because I was a bit of a wrecking ball when I played.
Uh-huh.
And the name always stuck, and I thought it'd be great. And I started a little web. The future is web television. And we're constantly experimenting and trying to sell programs on the web. And that's why it's been such a great affiliate to be with everydayhealth.com, because they are the leaders now, because they're the first people to go from the internet
to television. So by working with them and also their huge production company here, we're actually basically designing shows for the future. And I'm always trying to turn food on its head and make it more fun, because I think the viewer gets a little bit bored mm-hmm. by watching the same type of thing all the time. So we're bringing in characters, and we're developing short formats for literally for the mom. You know, I love the Yummy Mummies. You know, these are the ladies that keep me in business now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like what they call mommy bloggers are the most powerful people in media. So we have to keep them happy.
So when are you going to combine cooking and hockey?
We've been actually working on something like that, actually, because I'm actually working in Canada at the moment, and I've got a Food Network Canada show coming out soon, and we've already started talking to CBC about potentially making hockey more interesting, because unfortunately professional athletes are very guarded and a little dull, so we're actually trying to develop a cooking chat show around hockey in Canada, and then we might see if it spills over into other sports in the future.
Well, oh, okay, I have to ask, who's your favorite NHL team?
I always get slated for this completely. I'm a huge Toronto Maple Leafs fan.
Well, Danny, it's really nice talking to you. No, I'm kidding. I grew up in Michigan, so I think you can do the geographic math.
Right, so you're a Detroit boy.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. Well, I've got my tickets for the Winter Classic, so if the lockout eventually comes to an end, I'll be there on New Year's Day.
And it's an original six.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Well, I always get laughed at because I live in New York, and we've got three great teams.
Oh, yeah.
But I just can't jump on the bandwagon. I got to stay true to my color. So.
I live in Indiana. I'm the same way. I always remember The Onion had an article, NHL signs TV deal with Food Network.
Right. I didn't see that one.
Well,
I can only imagine.
It's in the archive, so.
Right, I will look that one up.
Okay, so I would say, when you're watching a movie, what do you like to munch on?
Oh, good question. I'm actually an ice cream guy or a popcorn guy. The thing is, I probably watch, if on my days off, I probably watch three or four movies a day. So, cause it's my best way of relaxing. Literally, I sit down and I switch off. And it's also, I love like movie documentaries as well. I mean, I love Robert Redford and how he's always trying to create something, and Clint Eastwood always trying to create historical movies now.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when I'm eating, I guess it's savory popcorn. You know, savory.
Okay.
I'm a very savory guy, but then if it's a late night, it's definitely ice cream.
What savory items do you like to put in? I'm usually a hot sauce guy.
Well, you see, what I do is I take plain popcorn. I don't take with butter, and I add like chicken seasoning to it, or I add salt and pepper, or maybe some chili oil, or if you've got a date, and for any guys out there, I'm going to suggest this right now: a little bit of truffle oil mixed in with your popcorn will help the evening go a long way.
And Al Green's Greatest Hits.
And Al Green's, yeah, exactly.
So what have you watched recently? DVD, theaters, doesn't matter.
Well, let's think. So I travel a lot, so I've been cramming movies in on the plane and in the hotels. I actually watched Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. And I actually thought it was brilliant. I actually thought it was a really cool movie.
You really can't ask for anything more than what the title already gives you.
Well, exactly. But it was such a, for someone who doesn't really know American history that well, it was like, well, this made it a lot more exciting. Let's put it like that. And then I just saw there's a British movie that was out called The Most Magnificent Magnolia Hotel.
Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
That's it. And I just thought that was a really delightful story. And especially that we never make movies about people in the twilight of their life. So, and to see them be like rejuvenated, I thought it was beautiful. And then
it also helps when you have heavy hitters like Tom Wilkinson, Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Bill Nye.
Maggie, every time you see Maggie Smith in a movie, she just hits it out of the park. And actually, the funny thing is, a lot of my guy friends. I mean, like I'm an ex hockey player, so you know, you go out for a few beers with the guys in the evening, and it's like, so what are you watching? And it's like, oh, I've just watched the whole season of Downton Abbey, and people are just like, they're like, what are you doing now? But I love the historical facts sometimes. I actually thought, talking of historical movies, I thought J. Edgar was I felt really sorry for Clint Eastwood because it was a really good attempt.
Right.
And I saw where he was going, but I don't think people picked up on the actual intrigue of J. Edgar Hoover. I think he was
Correct.
Such an interesting character, but it was more or less, it was Aviator. Leonardo DiCaprio just played the same character, but with a stranger haircut
and a male sidekick.
Yes, exactly, which was a little bit different.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong. I work at a PBS station. There's nothing wrong with Downton Abbey.
Oh no, but I love Downton Abbey. The funny, and the other one was Hell on Wheels. I watched that show.
Right.
Because I'm on the road, I'll literally watch the whole series in a night. On a flight, you know, it was quite interesting that. And Hell on Wheels was brilliant.
Speaking of The Onion, they did an article that said researchers show that watching an episode of Downton Abbey is the equivalent of reading a book.
It absolutely is. It's, you know, I guess I'm not the most smartest guy in the world, so I just like to, like, I have no time to read, so give me that. Well, you know, it's the same with anything Tom Hanks does.
Uh-huh.
Is always sort of like on the money when you watch The Band of Brothers and then you watch Saving Private Ryan. That, you know, the detail within that movie and that show were just so amazing, and the thought process of how it has now affected my opinion upon my grandparents and their involvement with the war and how we look upon society now.
Right.
It's a big deal. You know, they're really thought-provoking, you know, movies.
Now, I have to ask, have you seen the film Goon?
Don't you just love it?
I'm sure I've seen Slapshot just as many times as you have, but this one comes pretty darn close. It does capture the small hockey town feel and the characters, and this is the best Stifler from American Pie is ever going to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and actually, he came out of rehab. He just made that movie after he came out of rehab. And it was, but I didn't really quite understand where they were going with it. But then there's actually a couple of video bloggers, just like the, what's the Canadian guy who actually wrote that movie? What was his name?
Jay Bushnell.
Yeah, Jay Bushnell. And it's so funny that there's so many bloggers out there, video bloggers out there. Mm-hmm. There's a guy called Steve Dangle that if anyone's into hockey should check out, because he's a great Toronto Maple Leafs commentator, and also he does a lot of other things on like the KHL and stuff. And the profanity is not there, but the energy's there.
Yes.
And it was a fan's film. You know what I mean? It was like a real movie for the fan. I think it was just such a cool thing.
Yeah, it helps knock away films like Youngblood and Mighty Ducks very quickly.
Well, I'm glad that they got put to the back of the greatest movies, sports movies ever, you know, type of thing. It was like
So how many times have you seen Slapshot?
Crikey.
Thank you for saying that.
It's that and the original Pink Panther. There's about three old school movies I got, four or five old school movies I go to. So if I'm ever on my own, it's Slapshot, the original Pink Panther, Zulu, the original Italian Job.
Right.
And and Bridge Over the River Kwai, because I never get bored of how sort of like Alex Guinness was in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're my sort of go-to. I watch it over and over. And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as well, just over and over and over and over again. The other thing that I'm a big fan of is absolutely got to be James Bond. And I've seen every single Bond movie there is.
So you're ready. I'm
ready for Skyfall, like there's no tomorrow. And I'm a little bit disappointed they've given in to commercial with that beer advert.
Actually,
the beer commercial really pulls it together too. So it was done in great taste. But I think I'm just so looking forward to this movie coming out. It's the only thing I really, really want to see. It's this year. But I mean, for me though, like Daniel Craig is fantastic as Bond, and I actually do think that George Lazenby got a really he's actually my favorite Bond.
He got a raw deal. I mean, that was a tough act to follow,
and he had one of the
best plot lines, and he got to be with Diana Rigg, and one of the most depressing endings in cinema, and it still holds up.
That movie alone inspired me to go to Switzerland. And
really?
The funny thing is, I moved to Switzerland for 2 years, and how I got into food was I became a male nanny. And the funny thing was, at 23, I was thinking, yes, I could be a British secret agent undercover being a nanny.
Or you could be Naveen Andrews.
To be honest, what man? What a great! I can ski. You can ski. You can be an intellectual. family tree plotter. Mr. Blofeld has no earlobes. I still look at people with no earlobes to this day without, like, to thinking, you know, what are you a Blofeld? Do you have 14 women in a fortress on top of a mountain, and you're brainwashing them to take over the world bit by bit? Is that, are you in that family line? I have to think about that sometimes.
But,
you know?
But can you rock a kilt like Lazenby did?
Believe this or not, I was actually my best friend Emma. I was her matron of honor, and they switched roles. So
yeah.
Her husband's best friend was a lady, so she became the best man.
We did the same thing at our wedding.
Right, and I had to wear a kilt because she's Scottish. And I got to say, there is nothing more sexy than a man. I got to say, I felt really powerful that day, and I went traditional as well. It was very, very. Very interesting. But unfortunately, no lady wrote her phone number or number in lipstick on my thigh. So it's a bit of a downer on that one.
And you didn't get the Oliver Reed tattoo.
Is that what?
I think that's all we can say about that. So,
well, I tell you, out of classic actors, this may be my only claim to fame by meeting one of the original legends of film.
Uh-huh.
But I was in a bar called the Coal Hole in London. And it's on in the West End, and I was on this. I went to see Chicago with a very beautiful Asian girl, and Richard Harris comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder, and said, "Good job, my son. Good job," and walked off. And it's like, oh my God, Dumbledore just gave me the thumbs up. Isn't that brilliant? You know,
there's a really cool book called Hellraisers.
Right.
The Life and Inebriated Times of Richard Harris, Richard Burton, Oliver Reed, and Peter O'Toole.
And, well, you know, what a quartet that, I mean. Yeah.
Think about your worst day. You're doing okay.
That's very true.
Now, I read you grew up in Cambridgeshire?
Yeah, it's about Cambridge. You may have heard of Cambridge University. So
right.
I grew up a place called Peterborough, which is around, on outside of London, is about an hour drive. And I was very, very lucky that it's right basically in the middle of it's rural England, but it's an hour away from anywhere.
Okay.
And so we had, like, food-wise, it was a haven for me, because basically I could go and get fresh fish from the sea within 45 minutes. I can go and get organic beef and vegetables and fruit from the farmer who lived down the street from me. You know, it was brilliant. And actually, that's another thing about the Bond connection. A lot of the Bond movies were filmed. Octopussy was filmed in Peterborough, where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
Because of the railway scenes, we were on the Great Northern Railway, so it was like Roger Moore was there. Even my cousin was one of the extras in the movie.
Oh, so cool.
It was very, very cool.
I read, I think it was that they filmed Full Metal Jacket. Is it Basingburn Barracks?
Oh, Battenborn.
Battenborn, sorry.
Yeah, Battenborn was formatted. There was quite a few, like Hatfield is a big studio area, and
okay.
And it was part of the the renaissance of British movies that is happening now, sort of like was born and then died around that area, because it was so close to, Ealing Studios and things like that were so close to London, and they were grown, you know. Then the BBC started making movies, and ITV, which are the two biggest channels out in the UK, started making film there. And then, unfortunately, just after the 80s, early 90s, there was a bit of a drop in British film. But I think Guy Ritchie really helped that, the resurgence of that.
Uh-huh.
And now we have this amazing crop of, you know, British actors. And it's also how you get it's the film board having to sell the movie out. You
Correct.
Know, get it out there into circulation. So I think the choice of movies that we've started seeing from the UK has always been a little bit edgier, or a little bit our humor sometimes doesn't translate very well in North America, because we have a very sort of like sarcasm. But I think, though, it's we call it black comedy. We have
yes.
a very sometimes we have a very sadistic sense of humor, in fact.
Well,
so it's quite funny to then some people have to watch a movie a couple of times to then get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get it, it becomes a cult sort of reckoning.
Yep.
And then we've got fantastic, like Danny Boyle. I mean,
yes.
Making Slumdog Millionaire and things like that. Just beautiful movies, you know, really beautiful movies.
Yeah. It's funny, as a kid in middle school, we had on Sundays, I remember back in the early days of MTV, they would show Monty Python's Flying Circus, The Young Ones, and then the comic strip. That really helped out for a kid without a driver's license.
I can only imagine, because I mean, to be honest, the funny thing is, I still to this day don't really get why Monty Python was funny, but we have a lot of satirical comedy, mm-hmm. and surreal comedy, which was Monty Python, and there was the Fast Show. There's been as you say, comic strip, the Young Ones, and all those, and these, and Blackadder, and all these great things. But you have to, but it sometimes only resonates because it's the national sense of humor. So we actually get it after the third or fourth time, or it's how it comes into conversation. We are a nation. It's very weird. When you look at American comedy shows, and especially stand-ups, they don't have catchphrases, or they don't have the all these little lines. And it's so funny how the British comedy is, it's all about the tagline. Mm-hmm. And it's what everybody starts, like, you'll be... Ricky Gervais was the best.
I was saying, he did that with extras.
Yeah, you're having a laugh, right?
Yeah, right.
And it's the truest thing of when he developed that character, that the next day, everybody, if he was in school or you was in a supermarket or something like that, people would just tell him, you're having a laugh, right? Yeah, and everyone started giggling. I think the latest one was, that's what she said. That's the only American catchphrase I get.
Well, and the less we talk about Mrs. Slocum's cat, the better.
Well, I won't get into that.
Well, I think you mentioned Monty Python, and I also put them in the same category as Woody Allen, where, and even Rowan Atkinson, where it is a balance of equally smart and equally silly.
Yes.
As far as, you know, knowledge of history and culture and, you know, philosophy and psychology, and then fish slapping dances.
Well, and you know, the newest comic now you can add to that is Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yep,
yeah, I mean,
agreed.
That guy, his intellect, and yet his he's just shameless in his character building. So, you know, I'd like to see something that he's actually going to write, because if you can imagine how he builds a character, and you could imagine how Woody Allen writes, mm-hmm. I would love to see that.
Well, he kind of does that with The Dictator. I mean, he has said now that he can't do the gotcha stuff that he did with the three characters anymore. So, yeah, he's going to have to.
But you see, The Dictator was, I watched that movie and I was like, I thought it was a bit silly. You know, it just was. And then right at the end, he actually made a very good point, mm-hmm. between saying what is capitalism and what is a dictatorship, and then what is true democracy. And I think everybody in the room went, oh, yeah, like that. that thought process.
Which is fun with a date on a Friday night.
Yeah, well, it was. I think it was hungover on a Sunday. But it was you watch that, and it was a real, like, oh my God, the writing here is so true, but I don't think the character is so ridiculous that you can't even get into it, you know.
But I think he obviously liked The Great Dictator and Duck Soup from way back when. Not lumping it in the same category as those films, but the over the top comical leader.
It was a material piece, you know. Yeah. It was on that plane. But I'm actually quite looking forward to him playing Freddie Mercury.
Now, is that – I tend to say – I've heard that, and I was like, until I see a trailer or a poster, I'm not going to believe it. But is that in production, do we know?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, that
yeah.
That will be fun. That will be a lot of fun.
And also, he's like – he's really – that's you're talking that Freddie Mercury was actually – is more treasured through our nation, and I think probably the world sometimes. He was the true entertainer. Mm-hmm. And in the rock era, and if he gets that wrong, I think that could be the, you know, he's going to get some serious.
forget all the controversial stuff he did already.
Yeah, I mean, but I think well, the interesting thing about when you look at Bruno or you look at Borat, they actually are pushing the envelope upon how we look at, say, racism or even immigrants, or mm-hmm. how we look at sexuality. So he pushes the envelope, but sometimes it's pushing that envelope a little bit too far.
Okay.
And it's then not entertaining. We're all in on the joke, and then we've all gone, oh, and we've all laughed at each other, you know, at each other's group, and then he just pushes it that little bit too far. Mm-hmm. And I felt that, I mean, I don't know if you ever saw Little Britain, but they started doing that as well. And I sometimes think you lose your commercial value a little bit.
What was your neighborhood movie theater? Did you have one growing up?
Oh, we got taken over by America in the early 90s by the Showcase Cinemas, which brought that we had like because we had old school Empire, Odeon, theaters, and then Showcase came in, and actually, you know, it was a fantastic. Like a shopping mall of movie theaters. I mean, what else would you want? You know, 14 megaplex, you know, 14 movies going all on at the same time. And you had your 32-ounce cola and your half a ton of popcorn.
Yeah.
And the biggest shocker in England at the time was a movie being shown at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
It was weird that people were like, what? Who's going to go and watch a movie at 9 o'clock in the morning? And it like my grandmother every Thursday is there with her friends. So it's the truth, you know, the absolute truth of the matter that, you know, if you build it, they will come. And I think that's what really got me into it. I mean, I'm a huge movie geek, I follow movies and now with it, thank God for Netflix and things like that, so we can catch up and we can keep going, and HBO to go is awesome, you know, so when I'm on the go it's fantastic when releases are getting out, but the movie experience has it sort of lost its way a little bit. But then I felt that Sherlock Holmes was the first movie that I'd seen in a long time that brought me back to the cinema. And possibly Harry Potter as well, and Lord of the Rings. It gave me that real amazement of what theater can be about.
I think also the part that a lot of people now treat the movie theater like it's their living room. So and that, you know, your TV in your living room is bigger now than some screens, and there's that blur between what is home and what is going out.
I think the biggest shame is the cost, and the cost, and then the actual. It's like. I've just paid $14 to see this movie, and then within 2 weeks or 3 weeks of it, it's out on DVD or out on direct
on demand,
movie or something
right.
like that. And it's like, well, where's my motivation to actually go to the theater and see it then if you're going to get it out so quick?
Right.
I know you've got to sell it out, but it's sometimes. I mean, I've been on planes, and some of the movies I've wanted to see are actually out on the plane before I've even got. They've been within the same week or the second week of them being actually aired in the cinema. So, I think if they slowed down the process a little bit and made going to the movies more of an occasion again, that would be great.
Yeah, and if it weren't, and you said $14, if it weren't for the adverts, it'd be $20.
Well, believe me. I live in New York, and
it is 20.
I said 14. I took last year. I took my girlfriend at the time, and I took her family out to the movies. Bought popcorn, bought drinks in Columbus, Ohio, and I still had out of $30. I still had change. Like I can't even go to a. I mean, we went to. Was it? I forgot what they call it.
IMAX?
IMAX. Right. Sorry. Yeah. So we went to see. The Dark Knight. So we went to see the last Batman movie on an IMAX. It cost me $45.
Wow.
So I'm forever trying to see movies in other places than New York because it's, you know. But then again, if you go see an IMAX movie, you sometimes get the amazing quality. Yeah. And that there was a movie made for cinema.
Absolutely.
That, you know, the whole opening scene of them, you know, hijacking the plane and everything. Just the most amazing, amazing visual aspect to go through.
Yeah, because normally you can get things on the street for $45.
I can't even buy a pint of milk in New York for that. So,
cool. Well, Danny, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it and can't wait to tune in and see the show on Saturday morning.
I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Matt.
There you go. Danny Boom, host of Recipe Rehab, which you can see Saturday morning, starting tomorrow, Saturday mornings at 11 on RTV6. So thank you, Danny, for that. Okay, we're shifting the format again. I want to start with Into the Archives instead of what's new on DVD and Blu-ray because it was a week for DVDs this week.
Talking about a week.
I know. But, so this is the movie that you order online from the studio. You can't get it in stores, or as Kobe likes to say...
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Or in this case, $15. We go to the 1974 sort of blaxploitation western Thomasine and Bushrod. And this is a film that stars and is written by Max Julian. He's Bushrod. And Vonetta McGee, who we know from Blackula, Hammer, Shaft in Africa, and Brothers with Bernie Casey. Of course, Max Julian.
Wait, Shaft in Africa?
Yes, there were three. There was Shaft, Shaft's Big Score, Shaft in Africa. I own all three. I'll add them to your queue. But Max Julian, of course, wrote and starred in The Mac. And he wrote the original Cleopatra Jones, which we'll talk about more on next week's show. But it's kind of a female or male-female. It's a blaxploitation Western version of Bonnie and Clyde. We have a couple that are on the road in the 19-teens. Cars are starting to, those horseless carriages are starting to float around a bit more around the West. And they're robbing banks and stealing cars, and they're loving each other and fighting with each other. And so it's not a bad Western. It's a little different than your usual, modern day urban drama. And it's directed by Gordon Parks Jr. Of course, Gordon Parks Sr., a fantastic Renaissance man. And I actually own all of the films in the Gordon Parks Jr. library. He directed Superfly, this film, Three the Hard Way, Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, and Jim Kelly, and his last film before he died tragically too early in a plane crash, Aaron Loves Angela, which was kind of a modern version of Romeo and Juliet. So that's worth checking out. And because of this, there'll be other relations to Cleopatra Jones and other stuff, and Gordon Parks Sr. on next week's show. So yeah, I had a Michelle Pfeiffer double feature this week because there was the film People Like Us, which Chris Lloyd said his tears were not jerked over that film, and I can see why. It's one with Chris Pine, Elizabeth Banks, where Pine finds out he has a sister that he has to give money that his dad passed on to her. It was an inheritance. So kind of Rain Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can understand.
The problem with this tearjerker is that my tears were not jerked.
Yeah, he's kind of Tom Cruise in Rain Man, and this film would have been 30 minutes if he actually just, like the last Zac Efron film, if he had just said who he was right off the bat, we could all go home. And then I saw Tim Burton's film of Dark Shadows.
It's also an art film.
No, it's not. It's And I know there's a lot of rabid Dark Shadow fans from the original series in the 60s and 70s. And Johnny Depp, of course, plays Barnabas Collins. And he's buried and he's unleashed in the 1970s.
And everything's different.
And it's wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. There are times where they capture the kind of melodramatic aspect before. And by the way, Twilight was not the originator of the melodramatic vampire story. Check out Dark Shadows. It's a soap opera involving vampires. It captures some of it. Eva Green is in this. Michelle Pfeiffer is pretty good. Johnny Lee Miller, Jackie Earle Haley. And yes, there's a cameo performance by Alice Cooper. And everybody makes fun of him being an ugly looking woman because his name is Alice on stage because it's 70s. But yeah, the 70s were a wacky time. Just like, you know what? The Wedding Singer. Oh, those crazy 80s.
So crazy.
Not the Dark Shadows film I asked for. Or anybody else, I think, for that matter.
Yeah, there was, I was kind of okay with it until one part at the very end, one line, and I think you know what I'm talking about. That was like, okay.
I gave up a lot. I don't need to hear the Carpenters. And as much as I love Superfly, I want to know what New England coastal town is showing Superfly in 1972. That'd be kind of cool. And then there's Peace, Love, and Misunderstanding with Jane Fonda and Catherine Keener, directed by Bruce Beresford. It's not bad. They got to shoot this in upstate New York and have fun. Hippie mom, uptight daughter, and guess what? They don't like each other at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
Okay, on Blu-ray, you might have to check these out. The Essential Collection Universal Classic Monsters. Dracula, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy, Creature from Black Lagoon, Invisible Man, Phantom of the Opera. None of that will freak you out. And because the box set came out last week with the James Bond and the new films coming out very soon, all individual Bond films are out on Blu-ray again. They were already released. So be cautious. New packaging, but are there new features on it? You'll have to check for yourself. All right, words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz. Has spoken.
You're giving me the time.
I know.
You're giving me the time and you don't have it ready.
I know.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You are terrible. You're terrible. And go Lions for crying out loud. And Tigers. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show with food and sports here on WFYI HD2 The Point at WFYI.org. Sports.
We're just trying to do film sociology radio on the radio station.
Shut up. Go Detroit.
Go Zazoo.